Got some things on my mind and appreciate your prayers, Lord, and bless them, please. I've been thinking about being a pillar in the house of God. And I want to talk about that this morning, what Scripture means when it speaks of it, what it takes to be a pillar, and the value of a pillar. There were two primary pillars in the temple that Solomon made. I don't know that he named anything else in the temple, but he named those pillars. One was named Jachin and the other was named Boaz. The others are just called by, they're the cherubim, the ark, and the laver and the sea, but they didn't have names. Could have just said pillars, but he gave them names. And I'd like to read you the passage of Scripture that deals with it. It's from several places in the Bible, but 1 Kings 7 and 13 talks about it. King Solomon sent and fetched Hiram out of Tyre, and he cast two pillars of brass, 18 cubits high apiece, and a line of 12 cubits did compass either of them about. And he made two chapiters of molten brass. Chapiters are capitals. That's what goes at the top of a pillar. To set upon the tops of the pillars. And the height of one was 5 cubits, and the height of the other was the same. And nets of checker work, and wreaths of chain work, which were upon the tops of the pillars, 7 for one and 7 for the other. And he made the pillars in 2 rows around about upon the one network to cover the chapiters that were upon the top with pomegranates. And so did he for the other. And chapiters were upon the top of the pillars were of lily work in the porch, 4 cubits high. The chapiters upon the 2 pillows had pomegranates also above over against the belly of which was by the network. 200 pomegranates on each one. And he set up the pillars in the porch of the temple. And he set up the right pillar and called the name thereof Jachin. And he set up the left pillar and called the name thereof Boaz. And upon the top of the pillars was lily work, so was the work of the pillars finished. So, by the computations that I found, these two columns were something like 30 feet tall. And the capitals on them were about 6 feet. The 30 feet included that 6 feet. So the column itself was about 24 and then the top on it. And they were about 6 feet in diameter. Made out of, nobody's too sure what, brass, this says. Metal, obviously. They didn't support anything. They just were apparently decorative. And the Old Testament temple was a court, and these two tall pillars stood just at the entrance from where the court gives into the most sacred worship area. The holy place and the holy of holies lay on the other side of these pillars. Everything in that Old Testament tabernacle is symbolic of something in God's New Testament church. And these are as well. And it's not really hard to find a comparison to what that is talking about. God has pillars in his church. It seemed like several days the Lord's been talking to me about that. I wish that the Lord had, maybe I should rephrase that, the Lord will help me. I wish I had the skill and wisdom to be able to communicate to you everything the Lord gave me about these, because I've been feasting on it all week long, enjoyed it so much, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you too. God's got pillars in his New Testament church. These pillars were strong, they were tall, and they were beautiful. And as I studied this, I found that these are not by any means the only pillars in the church. 1 Kings 7 above this says, he built a house also of the forest of Lebanon. Gives a length and a height. Upon 4 rows of cedar pillars with cedar beams upon the pillars. And it was covered with cedar above upon the beams that lay on 45 pillars, 15 in a row. And all the doors and posts were square, and windows and a porch. He made a porch of pillars. The length thereof was 50 cubits and the breadth 30 cubits. And the other pillars and the thick beam were there before him. So just about anywhere that you went in the temple, you would see pillars. Well, of course, that's a comparison to people that have been saved by the grace of God. Their life has been changed, and they're made into pillars. Something that's beautiful, something that's strong, something that's able to bear some weight was necessary to do so, something that's intended to be a blessing. We meet some of them when we read over in the New Testament. I think it's in the Ephesian letter or maybe the Galatians, where Paul said, James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace of God that was in me. Well, I'd count James and Peter and John to be pillars, all right. Far as I can tell, there wasn't any give in them. From the time they received the Holy Ghost, all three of them, they resolutely maintained the gospel of Jesus Christ in all its purity and all its clarity down through the years. Their testimony, the books that they wrote, the stands that they took are still safe for us to follow today. Our world is so dark. There are so many conflicting winds of opinion and doctrine and understanding in it. It is a wonderful thing to come to the Lord's church and find pillars. Something that's strong, that's solid, that's part of the holy worship service, that is a consequence of the Spirit of God working in people's lives. It's beautiful. We love it and appreciate it. Now, folks speculate on what the particular comparison of those two pillars were on the outside. The term Jachin means, speaking of God, or it means he God will establish. So this was a pillar whose name means that God will establish him. And Boaz means in him God is strength. And everybody's got their own idea about it. I can't prove my idea, but I'd like to give it to you anyway to see what you think. Because in my best understanding of this description in the Bible, is talking about right at the place where a person enters in to the deepest, most beautiful communion and fellowship with God and his church are examples of godly men and women. I don't think myself that this is talking about David and Solomon. They have long been in eternity. I think the pillars in God's church on the one side of the door and on the other are holy lives of men and women who've lived for the Lord. I think they're both represented here. Well, it may not be a perfectly accurate interpretation of that, but there isn't any question that God has holy men and women in his church, and also that they are powerful examples to his people. Look at the pomegranates. People who've lived a solid life for the Lord for years have got fruit. It shows in their life. It's easy to be around. I mind some of the old folks that I've known. Brother Ira Stover in particular was a dear friend of mine. I was very young and he was an older man, but I have never forgotten the sweetness that that man had. He stood for the same things that I stand for and believe in, and I don't know what you'd have to do to pick a quarrel with Brother Stover. You just about couldn't do it. He was gentle. He was kind. Person can't get that way without having spent years walking with the Lord, having been tempered by his Spirit. Our Faith and Victory paper that comes from Guthrie, Oklahoma, was founded by Brother Fred Pruitt. I knew him rather well. My father worked with him for a number of years. Brother Pruitt was that kind of a man. I remember he was not a very mechanical man. He was a printer, but he was not a very good printer, particularly. Didn't especially understand machinery. After he was not doing that work anymore, other printers went in, worked on that same press he worked on, set it up so it would run hour after hour without any problems. But Brother Pruitt didn't have that knack. He'd go in there and set the press up, and it would run 50 sheets and Then the paper would jam and it'd print on the tympan and have to stop and change the packing that was around the rollers. And he'd look at it and say, "Praise God." 10 o'clock at night, and he was tired. He'd been there all day. But I remember those tones still. And he'd fix it all up and get it going again. He didn't have adjustments right, and it'd run, maybe run 75 that time, and then it'd bind paper in the roller somewhere, and he'd have to stop and clean it all out, and he'd say, "Praise God." That's a pillar. You don't get to be that way without having walked with the Lord for a long time. And you'd stop and think about it. What would it take to move somebody that committed, that living close to the Lord, to make them so that they'd be sharp and caustic and bitter, hard to get along with? Well, you know, that's not an uncommon way for older people to be, but God's got something better for that than that for His people. And it's to be found among those who go through the gates into the temple. And there are examples of it set for anybody who wants to worship the Lord, one on the left hand and one on the right hand, to demonstrate the strength of what this thing is, decorated with checkerwork and with nets and all the other things that are mentioned here. One of the writers I read on this, Brother Warner, said that the lilies that were on top of these capitals on the columns were white lilies. And of course it represents by that flowers that are pure and innocent. Oh, Lord, help us this morning. I want to talk about these things a little bit, and there's just almost endless direction you can go with it from this point. I'm thinking about what God wants in His pillars. For instance, one of the first and most important things. In our world today, there is so much of lust and uncleanness. But God's church is not that way. We're taught in the Bible to live without licentiousness, to live without concupiscence. Those words sound better than the meanings of them are. I wish the Lord had helped me. I ask you to pray. The Lord help me to express this properly. The Lord loves it when His people, when He has men folks who can be around the sisters and they're not handsy, they're not always trying to touch one another in ways that are inappropriate, or not got conversation that's not off color, that's not suggestive, that's not improper, but so that our little girls can find men here who are not trying to steal something from them that has in it the promise of their future life. God gave women something so special. They're mothers. They bring life into the world. That's sacred. It's to be protected. But the world has made it so dark, surrounded it with shameful and evil passions. The Lord wants His church far above this world's confusion, walking close by Jesus' side, innocent men. Innocent men, one of the first lessons of being a man is learning how to master your body, learning how to be appropriate in the way that you behave. And there is grace in the Spirit of God, and there is power in salvation to make men able to be that way. It's such a valuable thing for children and young girls and older women as well to grow up, to live their lives in a place where they're surrounded by men who are strong, who are noble, who are virtuous, who are upright, who are not trying to be suggestive, take anything from safe. Safe. Because women who are in that situation learn to have dignity and respect for themselves, and they learn to trust. They learn to trust. And there's a link between how much we can trust men and how much we can trust the Lord. Fathers, may I say that word in this? Fathers. Fathers, where men are fathers and where they love, like fathers it ought to do. Pillars. Maybe that's one of the first steps in a man being a pillar in the house of God. And then we can move from there and talk about integrity. And God has got people in His church. Thank God for it. You just can't make them tell a lie. You just won't do it. just won't steal from you, won't cheat you, won't take advantage of you. See how we take our offerings? We pay the bills. We're not trying to rob anybody. We're not trying to put undue pressure on anybody. Folks, give what it's in their heart to give. We're not after your money. We're after your souls. We want, not for our gain, we want you to go to heaven together. Honest people. Isn't that a valuable thing? People learn the skills of hiding their emotions with a poker face. But God's got a people who don't need a poker face because they're transparent. You got to have a poker face when you're trying to fool somebody into thinking that you're something that you're not. And if they knew what you're really trying to do to them, they wouldn't appreciate it. Well, God's got a people who don't have to hide any of that. They're pillars, don't you see? It's safe to be around them. You know, on the one hand, it's the one to whom the Lord gives strength. And on the other hand, it's the one and he makes faithful. The Lord wants to make us all of these things. And to think of that then, the integrity, and to think of the kindness, and to think of, in pillars, in God's church, experienced wisdom. I remember when I was young, I wasn't raised in a saint congregation, I was 16 when we first moved to one, and I had the views, I suppose, of someone who comes from those places. There were old people there in the congregation, and I thought they were kind of silly. But they couldn't run as fast as I could, and I thought they were kind of silly. I remember one dear old brother. He never accomplished very much in life as far as the world's accomplishment is concerned. Brother Mayo Mitchell, he's long been in eternity. And he had an awkward way of speaking, and he was a song leader. His voice was raspy, but he would pitch the songs right on key, and he had a good rhythm with it, and so the folks let him be songwriter and song leader. And when he get up to testify, he kind of spoke with a hesitating language and a stutter, so I was embarrassed. I really didn't want people to know that I went to the same church that he did until I got to know him. No, better till I got saved. Then I started seeing the other side of him. He was a man of so much integrity, he worked in a department store. His job was cleaning the store, and the store manager gave him the keys to that department store, trusted him to go in there when nobody else was in there, absolutely certain he would never consider stealing anything. I found out there are things more important than polished skills. Integrity. Somebody that just won't cheat, that just won't do the wrong thing. A spirit, an attitude toward the folks with whom they go to meeting that's all gentleness. Where little lambs, people in trouble, can come into the worship service and find folks there with no other thought than to help you get to heaven. Really not too concerned about what you look like or what your troubles are or try to pick fault with you. This one thing is important. Concern for your soul. I didn't know what that was until I came among the folks in that congregation. And my report to you is this morning that it's been my privilege throughout my lifetime ever since to worship in half a dozen or more different congregations across the United States, and in every one of them, I've found people just like that. I owe my soul to the saints. I owe it to the Lord, but I also owe it to those who have loved me when I didn't deserve to be loved, when I've made mistakes, when I've done foolish things, when I've crossed people and I shouldn't have. The saints have loved me anyway and done everything they could to help me. They're pillars in the house of our God, and I am so thankful for them, every one of them. They're beautiful, and I appreciate the pillars. I see the pomegranates on them. I see the checker work. I see how the Lord has taught them to pray. Have you ever listened to somebody been used to praying for years, get down into worship service, or maybe just you and them in prayer somewhere, feel the Spirit come down, feel their prayer start to change as the anointing and the burden gets heavier, and there you can tell that's not the first time they've had that kind of contact with God, and then the air starts to get special. The Lord comes near. Those are pillars. Those are pillars. And I think of that in the nets that were on them, the checkering and all the other work. Somebody who's been living close to the Lord, their life is decorated with the graces of God. Well, the outward decoration doesn't mean very much on these pillars. And I'm thankful that it does. I've been watching people for a long time trying to make their flesh pretty. Brother Tony Salmon said it to us down at La Ronja when the last meeting that I was in down there. He said, have you noticed how we don't have any grandmothers out in the world anymore? They never get gray hair. No matter how old they get, their hair is still always the same color. And he said, where are the ones that take the little children in and bake them cookies and brush away their tears and pull the sand burrs out of their fingers and things of that sort? God didn't intend for mothers to always be 20 years old. He intended people to change as life changes. And as that happens, well, I don't know about you, but I get less beautiful. There wasn't much to begin with, and it's been downhill ever since I've started to get older. But that beauty doesn't amount to much. That's just dust. One of these days, that's all going in the ground anyway. I want to renew the inner man. That's where the real beauty is. That's where the blessing is. And see, we have the privilege to worship among people who understand that. And to give respect to those who got the years and experience and the wisdom and have walked with the Lord. When those folks rise up to testify, I don't know, maybe it's more me than everybody, but it's almost like I can feel a hush and the angels draw near. I want to listen to what they got to say. It means something. I have built my Christian experience to a large degree on the pillars that God has given me. I appreciate them all. The Lord's revealed some things to me on my own personal instruction, but so much of it I've received from ministers who taught the gospel, from saints who lived it, from Sunday school teachers who took me back somewhere and spent the time telling me what the scripture meant. I remember when I was young in the teenage years, like teenagers like to be, and I wasn't the only one in our Sunday school class. We'd challenge our poor Sunday school teacher nearly every Sunday morning. Somebody challenged her about something, and she was always patient with us, and when she turned us loose into the adult class, we had a real good understanding of what the Bible taught and the subjects she brought to us. And that's been a long time ago. I'm still leaning on that pillar. It's a valuable thing. Thank God for men who are pillars. Thank God for women who are pillars in His church too. These men, now, if you accept my concept that this is talking about the brothers and the sisters, they were the same size. They each had basically the same purpose. Oh, folks, we need sainted mothers. We need young people, young sisters, who start out their lives saying, I want to be a pillar in the house of our God. I want to learn the right things to do. And I thought of this, I thought about the scriptures over in the book of Proverbs, where the virtuous woman, to her it was said, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. I've learned by experience, by watching a little bit of what that means. A good woman has I don't know how to say it hardly, a love for her husband that's worth dying for. I'll never forget. Young couple for whom I conducted a wedding many years ago. They didn't have very much money. They didn't have very much family to help them. Their wedding wasn't particularly well planned. It was outside. The sister, bride's sister, was sitting in the window of the building next door. It was a very humble building at that. Had a CD player, and at a certain time in the service, she was supposed to push a couple buttons and play a song that they both liked. And the time came, and she pushed the buttons, and none of them would work, and they couldn't get the song to play. And everything in the wedding was just like that. But when it came time to exchange the vows, the way that girl looked up at her husband when she said those vows, that's worth dying for. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her. That's a man's strength. That's his joy. That's his comfort in all the hard times of life. To have a woman that'll stand by him and be true and faithful. It's beautiful. It's the Lord's plan. But don't misunderstand me. You don't have to be married to be a pillar. You just have to stand for these values. And there are a lot of them. The scripture teaches of the woman in Proverbs said she's an industrious woman, hardworking woman. Women who flatter their flesh, well, it's hard for me not to think it, maybe tend to get a little bit more interested in how they look than how much work they get done. Well, men need to work and women need to work, but women's work is different in this respect. The women followed Jesus and they ministered to him of their substance. It wasn't necessarily their money. They could see when his sleeves need to be mended. May I say it this way, and I don't want to offend you with it. I get up in the morning and I get dressed, and 50% of the time my wife comes in and says, "You're not going to wear those clothes together, are you?" Well, they button. They all fit just like they did, but they don't. She sees things in them that I don't see. And it's a good thing. You folks might not let me come to worship service if I dress myself for very long. Some of the other sisters would be needing to step in and help me out. But she has capabilities that I don't have. God made it that way. We need each other, folks. We need pillars. We need folks who do this not bitterly, not scornfully, in love. In love. Have you seen it happen? I've seen it happen. I've seen folks come to our meeting off the streets, having nothing, not knowing how to be women. And I've seen the saints' sisters start working with them and teach them. So many people. I remember one sister in particular from years ago. She came to a meeting wearing a man's brogan shoes, work boots, and bib overalls, and a blue chambray shirt. And all she lacked was a baseball cap and a welding arc, maybe. You'd have thought she was a man. But the sisters started working with her, and they taught her to be gentle and tender, and they taught her how to handle herself. What a valuable thing. It's possible to do that and still never betray the heart of your husband. Hand stretched out to the poor. You remember who it was to whom the Lord appealed for a drink of water? It was a woman. Remember who it was who was first at the tomb? It was a woman. That quick, intuitive tenderness that God put in women, it makes them pillars. It's something beautiful and it's valuable. She opens her mouth with wisdom. I remember years ago, one of our younger ministers got in trouble. Having a conflict with his congregation, called a minister's meeting. We all sat around, five or six of us, talk about what kind of advice to give him, but there was an old brother there. His trouble was that he got a little bit too big for his britches. And there was an old brother there who said, and he'd seen a lot of life, he said, "Where are the older sisters in the congregation?" He said, "When I was a young man and a brother got out a little too big for his britches, some old mother would sit him down and tell him what to do. And he'd do it. And things would be better. I thank God when our older sisters get up to testify, or they're willing to give us some of their wisdom. It guides us. You take somebody who's had children, who's nearly lost them a few times, who's seen them be sick, who's learned how to deal with all the little scrapes and tumbles and ruckuses they get into, and cooked for them. A mother who meets her children when they come in from having been gone somewhere and won't turn them loose until they start talking and to find out what they've been thinking about and what they've been doing and get them to open up to you. Mothers do that sort of thing better than fathers do a lot of times. Valuable, valuable in the work of God. Pillars. Pillars are never gone. The scripture said concerning pillars, they go to their rewards, all of us do, and their works do follow them. I'm still leaning on some of the pillars today. These people, every one of them who wrote this book, have been dead for centuries. But I'm still leaning on what they said. Pillars are never gone until we turn them loose ourselves. I think, for instance, of the pillars that have been in this congregation. Brother Vader, Brother Austin, Brother Amos Porter. Brother Amos Porter was well known to some of our folks. And remember the kind of man that he was. And it's marked your lives. So what are you doing? Well, you're marking somebody else's life the same way. Having the same values. Living out your version of it. Each of us have our own individual personalities. But the Lord wants us each one to have the same sweetness. The same gentleness. The same integrity and the same courage. Somebody who's been a pillar in the work of God is never gone until we turn them loose. Lively pillars. That's what the scripture's speaking of when it says lively stones. I look at those pillars out there at the campground that are holding up the tabernacle. And sometimes I wish they could talk. Wouldn't they have some stories to tell? Well, the pillars in the church of God can talk. They're stones, all right. They're pillars. But you can go up to one of them and say, how did you do it? What happened back there? And they can tell you what it felt like. They're capable of moving. They're capable of understanding. They can receive information from us. I remember being told a story, kind of a illustrative story, about an old farmer who had a grandfather's clock. Been in his family for 90 years. But he needed something he could take out in the field, so he bought a pocket watch. And after he'd had it a week or so, wind it and lay it on the table there beside him. Go to sleep. And the watch got in a conversation with the grandfather clock. Said, how long you been there? Said, 90 years. Clock's just this little pocket watch that's been there a week. He said, how in the world did you keep doing the same thing for 90 years? He said, a tick at a time. Just a tick at a time. That's the way life is. And you learn that from the pillars. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. If we be faithful today, the Lord will help us get through it. Tomorrow will take care of itself. When the time comes, he'll be there too. You learn that from the pillars. You learn that from the pillars. Oh, it's easy for a young person to panic. It's easy for a young person to stampede. But some of the old gray heads around can settle you down, help you get through this. Also tell you when it's time to move quickly. Thank God for the pillars in his church. And how do you get to be a pillar? Can you just make up your mind? Well, that sounds good. I'm going to do it. No, he said in the Revelation letter. Maybe I ought to read it to you. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. And he shall go no more out, and I will write upon them the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Him that overcometh. Overcometh what? Well, first of all, pulling back when the Lord wants us to give everything to him. Just simple as that. You know, my son, if you'll turn away from your sin and live for me, I'll wash you in my blood, and I'll give you a new heart. I'll create a right spirit within you. And from there, you're on your way. Be faithful. He can wind up a pillar. Him that overcometh, he said, I will make him a pillar. The Lord will bring experiences into our lives that temper us, that teach us how to grow. And if we're faithful, they build one upon another, one upon another. We're not naturally born pillars, but the grace of God working in our lives to make us something beautiful. And the temple is full of them. And the Lord invites you and me to be one of them. Well, that's my little thought this morning. I hope it's a blessing to you. And I do thank the Lord for the courtesy of your attention once again. Amen.